Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
It was 2017 and we were arriving in the Mountain Village with our very first short-term team as the Envision site coordinators. We had an awesome week journeying with the team as we served together and got to know the people of San Pablito. Fast forward 5.5 years to January of 2023, and we're now arriving at the Mexico City Airport to pick up our first Envision intern, Thane. She had been on that short-term team in 2017 and was now back to explore what God was calling her to next.
Hello everyone, my name is Thane, and I recently went on an Envision internship. Going on an internship can change the way that you think about how God is able to use you in the lives of others.
Each intern would be connected to a family who desires to invest in a young person, to be a safe and encouraging place for them, as well as to boost their cultural and language learning by including the intern in their everyday lives and special events.
Thane would be our test run, along with a special couple, Adrian and Alejandra, and their little daughter, Dani.
Creo que algo bien hermoso fue que pudimos realmente ser familia con Thane. O sea, realmente verla como una hija, como una hermana, como de verdad atesorar su presencia en nuestra familia. A pesar del idioma, a pesar de las costumbres, a pesar de la distancia, a pesar de muchas cosas, poder ver cómo es cierto y es real que es una familia en Cristo.
They welcomed me with such beautiful hospitality, open arms, and it was such a testimony to the way that Jesus was receiving me with his open arms of love and kindness to accept me.
Me gusta mucho salir con Thane.
Nosotros pasamos como mucho tiempo estudiando la escritura y pensábamos que eso se resumía a la vida cristiana, como entender la escritura, vivir lo mejor que podíamos acorde a la escritura y listo. Misiones era lo último que queríamos hacer y cuando tuvimos a nuestra hija fue ahora menos. Y a raíz de esto, y a raíz de ver a Thane y ver que venía sola, que estaba en otro país, que estaba joven y cómo el cuidado de Dios siempre estuvo con ella, para nosotros ha representado... Qué padre que mi hija pueda vivir eso y que si ella tuvo la fortuna de parte de Dios para nacer en una familia cristiana y que ella vaya experimentando las misiones desde niña y entender esa apertura del evangelio y de ir a las naciones, ahora nos da ánimo, ahora quisiéramos que ella lo fuera, ahora me dan ganas de... Sí, hija, ve, ha sido un cambio de mente para nosotros muy grande, un cambio que se originó en el corazón. Y ahora lo vemos como una necesidad, ahora lo vemos como parte de nuestra vida cristiana, el hacer misiones y no como algo que hace alguien más y nosotros como que estamos bien en casa.
What a privilege it has been to get to know them better through this process and to hear them talk about all that God has taught them through this time of caring for Thane.
God did more than we asked or imagined.
Well, that's just a little glimpse of what Cindy and I do in Mexico. We're with Envision Canada, which is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance of Canada, and our whole mandate is leadership development of the next generation through missional engagements, and we do that through short-term teams and internships like you just saw. And if you want to hear more about what we do and opportunities that are with us, we have a table just outside the doors there. After the service, you can come talk to us. We'd love to interact with you and love to chat with you more about what we do in Mexico and through Envision Canada. Man, I'm not sure I need to preach anymore. Well, we already heard the gospel message and heard Jesus died and rose and why we should get baptized, but I'm going to preach anyway. Some of you remember me from when I was in this church. It seems a little strange to be up here preaching because for some of you, who are still around when I was a teenager, remember me as a terror, and I apologize for that. But here I am. Jesus transforms people, and that's the cool thing about who Jesus is and what he desires in people's lives. So this morning, I want us to focus on Matthew 5, 14 to 16. And when I got the email from Pastor Joel asking me to preach and preach on Be Light, the first thing that jumped in my head was this passage. And I thought, oh, Jesus, you want me to preach on two verses? I'm going to talk for 30 minutes on two verses. And yet, as I study it, as God grabs my heart on this passage, man, we could be here for another hour. So buckle in. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to try to keep it to 30 minutes. Some of you in this room remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." And then the next verse, you know, "Don't hide under a bushel, no," or "Don't let Satan blow it out." Like, what does that mean? 7, 8, 9-year-old kids learning "This Little Light of Mine." What does that even mean? And yet Jesus calls us to be light. And so I want to jump into Matthew 5 and look at what does it mean that Jesus calls us light. Jesus is just entering the Sermon on the Mount. He's just finished talking about the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. And then there's this radical shift. Jesus goes from a generalized conversation to a direct "you are." And he makes two significant "you are" statements. First was, "You are the salt of the earth." Second one, "You are the light of the world." And I'm going to focus on the second one. You are the light of the world. Not "you are a light," but "you are the light." Now think about this for a second. Who is Jesus talking to? Jesus has not gone to the religious leaders of his day. He hasn't gone to the synagogue to talk to those that come and sit in church. Jesus is on a mountain talking to people who have chosen to follow him, chosen to come and hear what he has to say. He's talking to common, everyday, normal people. People who have not gone to discipleship 101 course. People who have not talked about the fruit of the Spirit, because it hasn't been written yet. And people who haven't prayed a sinner's prayer, because that doesn't exist. But Jesus says to them, in their current state, in their current situation, "You are the light of the world." Imagine being the receiver of that. These are people who chose to listen to Jesus and have chosen to follow Jesus. And I believe that what Jesus is saying is, right where you are now, what you know of me, you can be light. And as you listen to me, as you follow me, as you learn more about me, your light will increase and your light will shine. Church, Jesus says the exact same thing to us. Be the light of the world. We are Jesus in the flesh for other people. For some, we are the only example of what people get to see or understand about who Jesus is. So what does that mean? What does that look like? I love how the message has paraphrased this little section. The message says this: you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. I love that. Because the God colors already exist in the world, we get to highlight them. We get to bring attention to the God colors that are in this world. Well, what are God colors? What is that? What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, let me just go through a couple. I can't go through all of them. We'd be here all day. But here's just a few God colors I want to draw our attention to. First and foremost is love. Love, in Jesus' embracement of it, is unconditional acceptance of any person who came into his presence. That's a beautiful God color, isn't it? Unconditional acceptance of anybody who comes into his presence. The God color of hope. That all of God's promises aren't just for us here in this room, but all of God's promises are for all people of all nations, of all tribes, of all tongues, of all places. The God color of dignity. It doesn't matter a person's creed, color, background, orientation. Dignity says, I see you. Just as Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree, said, I see you. Dignity goes, I see you. That's a beautiful God color. We all want to be seen, don't we? Or the God color of value. That we see people, all people, are fearfully and wonderfully made by our God. That's a beautiful God color. All people are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. So what might that look like? Well, my story is out of this church. And when I went into high school, we got a brand new pastor in this church. It was a Gray family. Some of you still remember the Grays. And they had a son my age. At that point in my life, I didn't want anything to do with the church, let alone anything to do with a pastor's kid. That was not on my priority list. And yet when I met Dave the first time, he kind of rocked my world because at that time, man, you can't listen to Christian rock and roll. That's devil music. And Dave comes to my room and we talk for 2 hours about Christian rock and roll. And I'm like, how does a pastor's kid know about Christian rock and roll if that's the devil's music? And Dave and I walked and had a friendship out of that, and we spent 3 years hanging out. And I could treat and mistreat Dave terribly on a weekend because I loved the party. And he would always say, hey, Monday morning, let's meet at the corner and walk to school together. And we walked to school every day, to school and back from school, all through high school. And I'd spend nights at Dave's house. And this was really weird for me because I actually saw a teenager reading his Bible. And then he put his Bible away, and I go to start talking to him, and he's like, hold on, I'm not done. I'm like, what do you mean you're not done? You just put your Bible away. He says, I'm praying. Dave became Jesus in the flesh for me. I saw something so different in him that after 3 years of walking with Dave, I deeply desired what I saw in him because he brought alive the God colors of the kingdom of God. And here I am today. But not only do we bring up the God colors, it says a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're going to shine a light, you can't be hidden. I remember as a kid growing up, going to my grandma and grandpa's house in Vancouver, and I loved it at night because I could look out her window and I'd see all of Grouse Mountain lit up. And I'm like, that place looks really cool. But in the daytime, you couldn't see it. But at night, I'd look at all the lights and go, like, that would be a really cool place to go to. See, if we're going to be light, there's a drawing factor to it. There's a drawing factor. So when people are looking for hope or dealing with tough stuff or at the end of the rope, do they see us? Do we radiate Jesus? Is it like the lights on Grouse Mountain? You see them and go like, I want to go there. Do people look at us and say, I want to hang out with that person. There's something about them that's different. There's a God color that comes out of them, and I don't know what that is, but I'm attracted to them. So let's go on. So Sitting Hill can't be hidden. But in verse 15, it says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. You don't hide light. You can't hide light. And this little phrase is actually a picture of what Jesus wants to do with us. He wants to take us and put us in a place where we can be seen so that others are drawn towards him. You put light where it's most seen. I went spelunking one time in Cataman Caves, just out near Jasper. And I don't know if any of you have gone spelunking in there, but we went down into what's called the dining hall. It's in the belly of the mountain. It's this huge cavern. And we all turned our lanterns off. And it was so black, you could put your hand in front of your face like this, and you can't see anything. There's zero light. But our guide, because we were down there to have lunch, our guide, after we sat there for a while, turned on his light. He says, "Don't anybody else, just let me turn on my light. We'll all be able to have lunch together." And he turned on his light and he put it on a rock upside down so it was shining up. And the whole cavern lit up. One light. One light illuminated the cavern. Our light illuminates Jesus. This is about every moment of life, though. This isn't just about, I illuminate Jesus when I come to church, or I illuminate Jesus when I go to small group, I illuminate Jesus when I'm with my church friends. No, it's I illuminate Jesus every part, in every part of my life. I believe this. Whenever we're with people, we're either drawing people towards Jesus or pushing people away from Jesus. Those are the only two options we have. Every time we rub shoulders, it doesn't matter if you're in the grocery store, it doesn't matter if you're in the coffee shop, it doesn't matter if you're in your sports team, it doesn't matter if you're in your workplace, it doesn't matter if you're talking with your neighbor. Every time you rub shoulders with another person, you're either drawing them towards Jesus or you're pushing them away. How do we do that? How do we draw people towards the God colors of Jesus? How do we be those kind of people? It comes down to, if we're going to be light, we have to know the light, who is Jesus. Spending time in spiritual disciplines. So we go, oh, that's great. I know that. I read the Bible. I pray. But are you checking off a list? Are you getting to know the person this book is talking about? Spiritual disciplines draw us into intimacy with Jesus, draw us into the understanding of who he is, draws us to be able to be connected to Jesus so deeply that we know without a shadow of a doubt the voice of the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. So to be light, how do we radiate light? Is taking time to sit with Jesus. We were at Meadow Lake last weekend, and my wife nudges me and goes, "Look at that little dude." So I look over, and there's this little guy. He's, I think, probably about 4 years old, and he's got his cowboy boots on and his Wrangler jeans and his belt with a big belt buckle on it with his cowboy shirt, and then after service, he's got his cowboy hat on. I'm like, that's awesome. He's like Mr. Cowboy at 4 years old. And then I met his dad. His dad radiates cowboy. His dad's a saddle bronc rider. And this kid sees his dad and goes, "I want to be like him." His dad radiates cowboy. And so this little guy goes, "I want to be a cowboy." So I got my boots, my jeans, my belt buckle, my hat. See, when we sit with Jesus, the Holy Spirit radiates into us the heart of Jesus, the heart of God, so that when we're with others, we get to radiate the heart of God to them. And it should draw us into being, I want to be just like that. I want to be just like that. And so verse 16 says, let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What does that mean? See, when we sit with Jesus, we have something to offer. I believe when we sit with Jesus to actually hear him, to talk with him, to receive from him, to allow him to mold us and shape us, we radiate just like Moses did. We read in the scripture when Moses went up on the mountain and came down, his face radiated with light. I believe the same thing happens to us. When we sit with Jesus, when we go and spend time with other people, they can't help but notice there's something different. There's something in your face that's different. It's because you've sat with Jesus. And when we've sat with him, we reflect his character and we reflect his priorities. And so this begs the question, how did Jesus do that? What did it look like in Jesus' life? I'm reading some books lately, one just on different things. And one book written by a guy named Preston Sprinkle. I love what he says about Jesus. He says, Jesus led with love. And it made me sit back and think, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? Jesus led with love. Because I started to think about who Jesus touched, who Jesus sat with, who Jesus walked with. And I realized, for Jesus, what he did and how he acted and how he conducted himself with others would have highly annoyed the religious leaders of the day. Matter of fact, some of them would out and out say, what Jesus is doing is sin. Because if you touch something dirty, you become dirty. But Jesus was bringing out the God colors. And Jesus touched lepers because it matters. And Jesus sat in the homes of tax collectors, the hated people of the day. Because they matter. And you want to bring out a God color of dignity. Jesus talked with Samaritans. Matter of fact, we have a whole parable about it. The Good Samaritan. Just think about the listeners. Listen to that one. Because they matter. And so what do good deeds look like? I believe this, and you can disagree with me, you can argue with me, that's fine. But I believe this, good deeds need to originate from listening well, listening to the voice of the person in front of you, and listening well to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and learning first, being willing to be open to what the person in front of you has to say, with the person in front of you, how they think and where they come from. Because I believe that when we listen well and we learn first, it impacts our actions. That impacts our reactions. That impacts our attitudes. That impacts how we live, and it impacts how we love. Because we've listened and learned first. Cindy and I have been listening to a series from an Alliance church in Manitoba called We're Listening. And they have indigenous leaders speaking from the pulpit on different things. And there was an indigenous elder of the Dakota people who was speaking. And he began to tell the story of one of their stories of their people. And the story is about Wanikiwa. And as he talks about the story of Wanikiwa and how two warriors go out because they're looking for food and sustenance, and they come upon Wanikiwa, and they have an interaction with him, And this person says, when they find him, he's breathing life into stuff, and he's bringing out food and sustenance for these warriors. And he says to them that he will look after them, but he has to leave because he has to go back to his people who are going to kill him, and he's going to have to die. But it's okay because it's what's supposed to happen. But he wouldn't leave them alone. He would send someone to look after them. And I'm listening to this going, that sounds an awful lot like Jesus. And I sat there and I wondered, what if the colonizers, instead of coming in and assuming this indigenous group was godless and savage, but they came in and listened and learned, what might that look like today? After hearing that story, could you imagine filling in the God colors of that story? Wouldn't it come alive for people? Well, so what? Here's a so what, the end of verse 16. That they, other people, may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to be light so that others will get to know who God is. I love how the message paraphrases this. The message says this: by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. See, our true identity doesn't change when we accept Jesus. It just becomes revealed. I am not fearfully and wonderfully made by Jesus after I've accepted him. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by Jesus before I ever acknowledge who he is. But when I acknowledge who he is, my true identity becomes revealed. Can we help others understand the true identity they have? I've been thinking about moths lately. Just there's some things going on in our home. And I started thinking about camping. And I've never, ever been camping where I put my lantern on the picnic table or hung it up in a tree where moths haven't gathered to it and other little insects. Why? Why? Because the light draws them. Church, let's be people who draw people to Jesus, not push people away from Jesus. Church, we don't have a good reputation in the world. Let's change that. Let's lead with love. And I know some are going, well, what about good theology? Yes, theology is good. But theology also has a bit of a shadow side when we lead with theology. Because when we lead with theology, it's about who's right and wrong and who's in and out. But when we lead with love, and we lead like Jesus did, we go, I embrace you. Now let's walk and see what Jesus wants to do. And so, Spruce Grove Alliance Church, would you be willing to be moon people? Would you be willing to be moon people? See, the moon in and of itself has zero ability to be light. But when the moon lines up with the sun, it's beautiful, isn't it? Because we get to see the sun through the moon. Spiritual Alliance, would you be moon people? Would you stand in the light of the sun? In order that the sun would permeate you so that you would radiate that out. And so here's a challenge I have for you over this Advent season. To read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with these lenses. How did Jesus walk and treat others? And how did Jesus reveal the God colors of his kingdom?
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.